Elaine, can you hear me? Do you want to hear me? Jim said there are outlines available, just a few, because if you received the bulletin by email, the outline is also sent out by email on Saturday afternoon. But if you do not receive or have email, but if you have it and not receiving this, check with Jim afterwards. But otherwise, there's a few of these outlines on the music stand in the back corner. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and more. It's interesting that this is the only miracle that's found in all four Gospels. The only one. There's a Bible trivia question there for you. And from this story, we receive a lesson or lessons in what to do when unexpected trouble arises, and we've all experienced that in one form or another, or one time or another. Of all the miracles of Jesus, I think this is the one, if it were possible, that I would like to witness. I think the others, if Jesus gives sight to the blind, bam, okay, it's done. Or just take up your bed and walk. Maybe walking on the water would be a good one to witness. But feeding 5,000, because the Bible doesn't tell us anything specific about how the miracle went or evolved. What happened when that loaf or bread went from one person to another, or two small fishes? What? And then it says small, so for some of you, it just said fishes, might get the idea, it could have been pretty big, but no, two small fishes. So let's take a look at the story or the lesson and the text and gain several lessons from it. Number one, because we all may have to make changes in life, be flexible because situations do change. And in this story, in John 6, verse 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him. Oh my, look what's about to happen. I wasn't planning, well he was, but... But what an unexpected change, because he'd been teaching the multitudes, performing miracles in their midst, and he wanted some alone time with his disciples. Mark records it this way, in Mark 6, verse 31, he said to them, the disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going. They didn't have time to eat, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But here it is, change your plans. The multitude saw them departing. Many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. The multitude ran around the lake and got to where Jesus was going before he did by boat. John said in John 6, it's recorded verse 2, great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain and there sat with his disciples. Now a change is about to take place in your plans. Planning was, come aside in the text. Rest a while. Go up on the mountain. But now a great multitude has followed him. Oh. We've experienced a great change, haven't we? We've had to change plans. We see that in the manner of assembly. The coronavirus experienced, or because of it, we've had to change our situation. And not just us in our assembly, businesses closed. Many did, some were considered essential. People lost jobs, went on unemployment. I didn't expect that. Others were able to change plans, maybe work from home. Schools closed. That affected parents and children. Changed plans. Vacations were canceled. Gatherings were limited to a designated number that could assemble. There's a 14-day quarantine for those exposed to the coronavirus. Worship assemblies were closed and then open. They were closed and now open again. But no singing. The Latin American newsletter came this week from our missionary efforts with Jack Barber down in Latin America. And he's mentioned in one section the number of people affected in their in the 12 countries of that they have missionaries in. But he said a new normal on campus. So at the school, at the Bible School of the Americas, activities at the Bible School have been drastically affected. To stop the contagion that increases daily, a quarantine has been established. It's been 5 months already, and no clear horizon can be seen. He said, regarding the churches in Panama, we still cannot gather in person. We have members who have lost their jobs and have no food for their families. We're giving support to these families according to our abilities and capabilities. On the Atlantic side of Panama, the government took extreme measures to avoid massive deaths. Men and women were assigned days of the week to leave their homes and buy necessary food. No one is allowed to travel beyond 30 miles from home. The church prepared grocery baskets and school supplies for all the brethren and others in need. And then in Costa Rica, in early April, the government took strong measures to prevent mass contagion. Among these measures was the closure of religious buildings. As the months passed, the government recently announced the opening of religious places with instructions, wear masks, no bodily contact, and no singing, even in Costa Rica. Then the government reversed and now we have reopening. But today we're waiting for the government to once again, so they reversed and now it's closed. We're waiting for the government to once again reopen worship gatherings. So things change, don't they? Even in the life of Jesus. So be flexible is number one. Number two, have compassion. In Mark 6, verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Well, I wanted to go to a desert place and rest a while with the disciples, remember? That's how the story began. Because they were like sheep without having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things, Mark says. So we serve a God of compassion. In Psalm 88, verse 15, the psalmist said, "But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy." And we're called upon to exemplify compassion. We have an obligation for that. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, in Matthew 18, verse 32, the master, after he called this unforgiving servant, said to him, "You wicked servant." Here's a reason why. "I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" So God's a God of compassion. We want to exemplify that saying because he's had compassion on us. The parable of the Good Samaritan, or the Samaritan, we call him good. Certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, the man that was overtaken and laid by the side of the road. When he saw him, he had compassion. And Jesus reaches the conclusion of the story. "So which of these do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves?" The person answered, "He who showed mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." So just as we have a God of compassion, we are to be a people of compassion. And during this coronavirus pandemic, we will have opportunities to show compassion. Might be to our own family members or the neighbor just even across the street. May not have to go far, but you and I will have opportunities to show compassion. Number three, a lesson we gain from the story is don't pass the buck. In Luke 9, verse 12, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we're in a deserted place." The disciples' solution, let's just send them away, let them fend for themselves. But remember in our text, interesting phrase. In John 6, verse 5, Jesus said this time to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" To the disciples, to Philip. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. "Philip, what are we going to do?" "I know." He didn't say that to Philip, but "I know what I'm going to do." "Philip, anything in mind?" Well, Philip answered him, "Well, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. We don't have enough among ourselves." The disciples had just witnessed Jesus healing all manner of diseases, even among the multitude. Matthew 14, verse 14 mentions this also. When Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Disciples, you just saw what I've been doing and teaching. We have a situation here. What shall we do? Well, we don't have enough. We can't do anything. Let's just send them away. Oh. But you see, we have an obligation too. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. In verse 10, let's not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, in other words, you know when I read that word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good. Don't we have opportunity? We have people who have lost their jobs. Unemployment, partial employment. Let's do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. So don't pass the buck. Number four, look beyond your own resources. In chapter 6, verse 9 of our text, there's a lad here. Has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But then he had, but what are they among so many? 5 loaves and 2 small fish. You see, the disciples could only see their empty pockets. What can we do? We don't have much. So they want to excuse themselves and just send the problem away. Let's just let them all go into the city, fend for themselves. They said 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient even to have a little. Someone said he might have even calculated the cost of feeding 5,000 men and women. May have thought to themselves, "Yeah, we'd have to work 5 years to earn enough to buy enough bread just for everyone to have a little piece." That's impossible. And again, they just saw the miracles. Why didn't they say, "Jesus, we need you again today"? Why not do that when you just had a change of plans? And again, Jesus already had a solution. But then Andrew comes to the rescue, finds the lad that's willing to share his lunch. 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. It's interesting, servants and resources come in all sizes. Don't discredit the little that you think you have. Don't minimize the size of that resource. If it's a resource, that's what it is. If it's a small servant, that's what it is. Don't discredit the youth or the amount. Because what this lad had was helpful, it was needed, and it was used for relief in the story. So that brings us to point number 5. Little is much in God's hand. The lad's lunch was enough for him. But wait a minute, there's 5,000 plus. And even Andrew, remember, asked that phrase, what are they among so many? It's a good question. I would have asked the same thing. We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, small fishes. I wonder if they snickered a little bit when the disciples saw the lunch and said, feed all these people with this? With this? You can't do it. We're able to do much by doing the ordinary, by doing what we can. What if the lad had withheld his lunch? So now we make it personal. You know, I have this ability, I have this opportunity to help even my neighbor across the street. Let them fend for themselves. No. You see the need, you tend to it. Even if it's a little. Little is much in God's hand. Your service may seem little to you, but it'll have a tremendous effect on the church or the congregation. Remember that when this started back in March and we had to stop our assemblies, no one said you need to do this, but immediately Dennis and Pam drove to members' homes to deliver communion supplies. A little thing. I remember I called them up. I go down the building and get them. And they said, no, we're already out driving around. Because I heard they were doing it. No, we're not in your area yet, but we'll be there. We'll drop some communion supplies by. And they said, well, okay. Came the next week without me even calling. Several ladies made masks to share with others. Little thing. Jim kept everyone informed of the guidelines during the pandemic. Clarence and I met at the building during April and May, and we recorded 2 sermons every Thursday for 10 weeks. And then Clarence put them out on email or on the website. 20 lessons. So you can look at those in your home on Sunday morning or other times. Cards were sent. Telephone calls were made, all to keep in touch. So a little is much in God's hands. Number 6. I only have 9 points. Okay. Number 6, don't forget to give thanks for the provisions, no matter how small. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, let's give thanks. That's right. Number 7, well, I always think when they gave thanks, I'm wondering if I were in that multitude, tired all day, hungry, haven't had a single bite, Jesus, you're going to stop and give thanks? Hand out the food. Mm-hmm. help me. I bet some of them were saying, I hope it's a short prayer. Mm-hmm. But number 7, maintain order. In Luke 9, verse 14, he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. The scripture Don read in John just records, make them sit down. The groups of 50. The crowd was seated in manageable sections. Because we might expect confusion without the organization. There might have been a huge rush to the picnic table without having them sit down in groups of 50. Number 8, the Lord always gives more than enough. In John 6, verse 11, when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Oh, I'd like to see that. As much as they wanted. And considering how long they'd been without food and had nothing, I suppose they ate a lot. As much as they wanted. I just think for a moment, and this is the way my mind thinks. A pound of fish each. It's already over 5,000 pounds of fish from two small fishes. Over 2.5 tons of fish from the lad's lunch. That's a big miracle. And in John 6, verse 12, it says, and when they were filled, they had all they wanted, and they were filled. So they were, you know, God gives us what we need and all we need. It's sufficient. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He gives us what we need and all we need. It's sufficient. Then the last point is save the fragments. Said to the disciples, John 6, verse 12, gather up the fragments that remain. There's leftovers. So that nothing is lost. So therefore they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments. So they had all they wanted, everyone was filled, and the fragments are already 12 baskets of the five barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. And here's the main lesson of the whole story. Then those men, when they had seen the sign, they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, truly, this is the prophet who has come into the world. Save the fragments. That was the start. I guess that promoted the idea of a doggy bag from restaurants. Take home the fragments. And we call them leftovers. I call them a lot of other things too. Previously owned food, gently used food, refurbished, low mileage food, second hand food, one owner food, still in good condition food. But take up the fragments. 12 baskets. The miracle of feeding 5,000, and then there's this added miracle. There's 12 baskets remain. Then the lesson, John 20, verse 30 and 31. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. The signs that Jesus did. Not all are written in this book. But John concludes the verse, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And believing, you might have life through his name. The purpose of the miracles, the recorded miracles we have in our Bible, are designed to promote faith in your life and mine, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that belief leads us to eternal life. So I've spent a lot of time just on this one miracle. There are 7 recorded just in the Gospel of John. But John says at the last, many other signs truly did Jesus, which are not written. But these are. So they're sufficient to produce faith in your life and mine. Always at the close of a lesson, We sing a song, well, no, we're not tonight, but today. I get in the habit of even saying certain things. It's difficult to change. But always the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation. And you have that opportunity, having the evidence presented, biblical evidence presented. If that produces faith and moves you to in your desire, your resolve to be baptized, we can accomplish that. Just let someone know. You know, ask people to make that wish known to others. It'll get to us. We can accomplish that baptism. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can do that also. So that's the reminder. That's the word of encouragement this morning. So again, as Jim always says, we thank you for your desire to be with us.